men standing up for a moment. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. And I'm going to piggyback of the prayers that's been happening, the worship, the anointing, and the presence of God. I'm going to piggyback off of all that. I'm going to go right into it. So you guys are religious. Don't judge me because I'm not going to pray when I preach. Come on, somebody. All right? We're beyond that. Can somebody say we're beyond a religious atmosphere? We're beyond all that. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You may have a seat. You know, like I said, I'm going to bypass all this, but I can't let this get away. I have to give honor where honor's due. And I do want to thank God for his keeping power. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. You know, I didn't get to testify for the men's retreat, but I want you to know that, you know, God had a plan, even, you know, because I want you to know something. God does not operate on seniority. It doesn't matter how long you've been with the Lord or what you know is who you know and all that, but I want you to know that I needed to be there. God specifically locked down Grant's men's prison just for me to be at the mountaintop. I didn't have to drive 3 hours across New Mexico, but guess what? He opened Santa Fe at 6 p.m. in the evening, so he didn't let me get away with that one, you know? And they were waiting for us. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, at that time, it was one of those times that God knows exactly what he's doing. So sometimes, when you've been around for a while, God has to take you to the mountaintop and shake you up a little bit, reload you a little bit, and just look at you in your face and say, Joe, I am not done with you yet. Come on, somebody. Give God a praise offering. And tonight, You know, this scripture right here has been, he gave it to, this is what I'm speaking tonight. He actually gave it to me at the mountaintop. I'm sitting there next to Pastor Paz getting ready to preach, and I'm taking notes, and then Pastor Rene from Cruces, he looked at my, I wrote down Revelations 11, 12, 11. He said, that's not the scripture he's preaching on. And I looked at him, hey, has nothing to do with you. I'm on a whole different mission. But God does that to me. When I sit right there, and the pastor's preaching, somebody's preaching, anybody's preaching, I'm writing stuff. That's how God speaks to me. And the other way he does, he always gets me in the shower. I don't know what's about God. Every time I'm taking a shower, he says, no, I don't want you to speak that. I want you to speak this. Amen. But he didn't change it this time, so I'm glad for that. Praise the Lord. But I want to just challenge you tonight that, you know, every time, when I speak, like, I was set up last Thursday at the men's prison in Las Lunas, because there's a movement going on in Las Lunas prisons that I can't really explain it to you, and I can't really break it down because of lack of time. But there's an inmate church that got transferred from Huff's. These are lifer guys. And the guy that one of the lay pastors said, clerk, and they're ordained ministers, was one of our own. And I was set up in a way because we're scheduled to be there all regular time walking in. I saw a bunch of people in the chapel, and then And the guy that was introducing me, he was giving a testimony that in the year 2000, Victor Outreach went in there and he received Christ and went into the home, completed the home. He was part of our worship team and stuff. And sure, he made a few mistakes back in prison. But no, his name is Adrian Grimes. But you know what? He's the leader. He's like the pastor there of the chaplain church. And it's God, my honor. And we got our guest speaker tonight, Pastor Joe from Victory Outreach. He said, nah, this is my time. This is my time here. But it was good. And I went up there and said, oh, my name is Joe from Victory Outreach. And I want to let you know I'm a three-time dead man walking. And, of course, there was a young man, and he asked me a question. Hey, what do you mean three times dead man walking? He said, well, number one, I escaped the corruption of the world from the life that I come from being shot up, being stabbed, prison riots, addiction, and all that crazy stuff. By all rights, I'm not the only one. We should have been dead a long time ago. And the second time I told him, God allowed me to die of a heroin overdose and bring me back to life so I could understand what he was going to do with me. And the third time, after being saved for about 3 years, they didn't even know what was going on. The only time I ever been out of Anthony, New Mexico, to the state penitentiary. But I found myself with a bunch of holy rollers on my way to California to a world conference in Pomona, California in 1990-91. And it was there where I got there and I began to see a big picture where the Lord began to show me that I was involved in something bigger than what I could apprehend. And it was right there when I walked to the bathroom when I began to see all kinds of crazy guys and I heard about stories about prisons in California. I thought I was walking the yard in Folsom or Chino or San Quentin or something. I was tripping. I said, man, my God, this is too much. But it was right there in Pomona, California, when God revealed himself to me after 3 years being saved, when I made a commitment that I'm going to follow Christ to the day I die. And I made that commitment. I gave my life to God once again. And I gave my life to this ministry. This is why I stick around. Venga lo que venga, pase lo que pase, digan lo que digan, whatever. Been there, done that, hear this, hear that, and all that. Once you make a commitment to God, that's the only thing we got left in this world. And I made a commitment that I have to die to self. I have to die to the past. I have to die to whatever my own personal plans. And God began to expand the vision within me. And that's the third time. And the young man just kept looking at me. Okay, I get the picture. Yesterday, United States of America and half of Mexico celebrated something called Halloween. Mexico goes way even deeper. They go way off into Dia de los Muertos. That's good and dandy for the world. I'm not against it. I'm not even talking about it. It's dead. It's gone. Come on, somebody. But I want to entitle this message tonight, Dia de los Vivos, Day of the Living. And I declare to you right now, November 1st, 2017, as Dia de los Vivos in Victory Outreach. Don't worry, Pastor Sonny's got my back. Pastor Danny's got my back. And I'll get to Donald Trump sooner or later. Come on, somebody. We're going to declare Victory Outreach Day of the Living. Now, when they said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, who's they? Who is they? Who are they talking about? Who is it? Who is the writing and reverend? Who's they? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who's they? It is the group of men and people within the Word of God that we read. It is people like in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. It says, imitate those that through faith and patience have endured and have received the promises. It is they that have overcome. I'm talking about men and people within the Word of God that we read about. I'm talking about men and people that were once dead in their trespasses, but because of the grace and the mercy of God, they became alive. See, I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say tonight, but most of us, even in myself, we were like walking zombies. We're existing, but there was no life in us. Come on, somebody. Until Christ came in and gave us life. And this is the point that I'm trying to make. I'm talking about like the layman in Acts chapter 3 where he was just there outside the temple beautiful. And they, instead of giving money, Peter and the other disciples, we ain't got no money. But what we got in the name of Jesus, and he received his health and he got healed. And he went into the temple leaping and praising God. Why? Because he was one that was given life. Not to mention Lazarus, of course. Not to mention, what about the other blind man, Barnabas? I mean, yeah, I'm glad you guys read the Bible. Bartimaeus, of course. What about him? But the one that stands out the most to me is the one in John chapter 9, the blind man was born blind. This guy, I mean, God did most unusual. You think Victory Outreach is crazy and unusual and kind of radical. Look at the methods that Jesus Christ used on this guy. He spat on the ground. He mixed up a little bit of saliva with mud. And he went over there and laid on the blind man's head. Somebody once told me, man, that's kind of gross. He said, I don't know, but the blind man didn't see nothing. All he said, he received his sight. Come on, somebody. So don't get crazy with us when we get all radical and we begin to do crazy things like drive-bys. Come on, somebody. When I'm with the man's home, we're doing okay. Hey, I know that guy. We're going to do a drive-by. Don't get crazy when we do put on car shows. Don't get crazy when we do crazy dramas. Oh, some people, oh man, you got more violence in the drama than stop the violence. They don't get the message or the hope or the method or the tools that God uses just to reach to another treasure. But you know what? This blind man, they even question him. The religious folks question him. Who saved you? Who gave you insight? Who did this? Who did that? And he said, I don't know. All I know is that I was once blind, but now I see. Come on, somebody. Sometimes people even question Victory Outreach and, Wayne, what do you mean? You were a gang member? What do you mean? You were a drug addict? What do you mean? I want to let you know that that man, you know, he didn't give up. They kept questioning. He even told him, why? Do you want Jesus too? I already told you one time. All I know that I can see. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to explain to the world or to the secular system. I had meetings with high-class secular counselor programs that try to brainwash my mind that you cannot get up a methadone because it's a medication. And I just looked at him. Will you tell me one thing, sir? How did I get off of it? Come on, somebody. They told us we were never going to mount up to nothing because we were just dead or no life in us. But I'm here to prove to you guys that, like the blind man said, no, it's not. It wasn't the penitentiary. It wasn't las rucas locas. It wasn't the money. It wasn't the all the world had to offer. It was Jesus Christ that gave us life. He's the one that gave us life. He brought it into us when we were just dead. No había vida. You know, and this is what's talking about. Imitate those. Now, those are just a few that I see here. What about Peter after the day of Pentecost? When he was already alive, but he was revived when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Even again, the religious folks try to silence him. I'm quoting out of Acts chapter 4, when they told him, didn't we strictly command you not to speak in that name of Jesus? And you know, Peter, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you cannot deny the fact of the things that I have seen. Come on, somebody. See, in the early days, we're going into the schools and they warned me. Went to Truman Middle School and said, okay, Mr. Williams, you gotta know, this is not a church and you gotta be careful not to mention the name of Jesus too much. In case you wonder why they don't call us back, I'll tell you why. Because I went up there and I told them, hey, how's everybody doing? You know what? They told me not to preach to you guys, but I'm not gonna sugarcoat the truth. Jesus Christ set me free. Jesus loves you. And the teacher was looking at me like the Pharisees were questioning Peter. We can't deny the truth, my friends. No one can shut us up. No one can deny the fact. No one can tell me if the resurrection power is real. I was there. I witnessed his resurrection power. I seen the blind man see. I seen cancer heal. I seen AIDS heal. I seen the most notorious lifers in prison saved, sanctified out of prison. I seen miracles on top of miracles. You cannot tell me that it's not happening. It's not true. It's not possible. Come on. Is anybody in here tonight that was once dead and now has life within you? Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You know, and this is what he was talking about. Imitate those that through faith and patience have inherited the promises. That's just people in the Bible. What about our founders? See, I've been a type of individual since I was young. Since I was 13, 12, 15 years old. When I went to prison for the first time, I was 18, 19. I wanted to know who was calling the shots. When I was a heroin addict, I didn't score for anybody in the streets. I wanted to know who the heroin connection was. And I got to entitled, by the way, I want to just for the records from the freebies tonight. In my lifetime, there's been 4 heroin connections that have come to Jesus. And I introduced one of them to you guys. You know what I mean? One is named Juan Campa in Juarez. He looks like Zapata, a big old Mexican guy. When we first tried to preach to him, he threw us out of there, called us every name in the room. You blinkity blank this and that. Get out of here. You got ratas. He called us every name under the book. 30 years later, to this day, he's an evangelist. They call him Juan el Profeta throughout Mexico. You know what I mean? And of course, Mark knows the other ones, the Portillo guys. The Portillo clan, Arturo Portillo. Mondays was one of our homeboys. He was selling for his family. Recently, a few years back, they got busted. And he never wanted to hear about God. But you know what? He got arrested, busted. He was all over CNN News. They were using some nut farm as a cover-up. He had so much power that from the county jail in Las Cruces, had his attorney called us, special visit, went over there and talked to him. Joe, I heard you're still preaching. He gave his life to the Lord right there in the county jail. You know, that's being so on. What am I trying to say? You know, our founders, Pastor Sonny, now I always wanted to follow everything. I'll be honest with you. Even, you know, not only our founders, but we're talking about our elders, Pastor Rick, Pastor Mitchell, you know, Pastor Sonny, and all the other elders that we have left. I know some went to be with the Lord. But what I'm saying is that, you know, what about our local pastors? What about our regional pastors? Pastor Danny, I'm glad he's not here tonight. He didn't set me out. He don't even know what I'm talking about. He just want to preach your heart out. He didn't ask me what you're preaching about. He just preach your heart out, Joe. But you know what? That man has more faith. That's tremendo. Like, remember, imitate those that through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is what the promises are. We're one of them. For I remember when he went out to me, Joe, God spoke to me. Me and you are going to Central America. And I just looked at him, dude. I don't even have a green card, man. What are you talking about? You see, I don't even know where I was born, Pastor. I'm pretty sure you guys heard many stories, but he said, I don't know how you're going to do it. But within 3 months, to this day, I still have my passport. I remember he told me, Joe, God's raising me up to be leader of leaders. That's before he became regional. What am I trying to say? It's part of the message I'm trying to say. Imitate those that have gone before us. You know, people that have been there, that lie down now. I want to just leave you with 2 things tonight. Of all this hoopla and everything, you know, I've heard my testimony, dime a dozen, a whole bunch of stories. But listen, it says, they overcame him by the word of the Lamb and their testimony. Every single person here tonight, you have a powerful testimony. And you know, and I want to leave you with 2 things. Number one, is the one in Deuteronomy. This is a word that I have for us tonight. This is Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19 and 20. It says, I have set before you death and life, a blessing and a cursing. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And in verse 20 it says that you may love your Lord your God, that may obey his voice and may cling unto him, for he is your God. And this is the one I like. And he is the length of your days. Victory Outreach, we ain't got too much time left in this world. Have you seen what's going on around? what's really going on. The enemy is still trying to take out your brother, your sister, bringing division and strife over nonsense. California's on the fire. Mexico is being shaken. Puerto Rico's underwater. Vegas is getting drive-by shootings. I mean, come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. What's really going on all in once after another? This is why this is the length of your time. No tenemos tiempo. No hay tiempo para perder. There ain't no time to waste, my friend. This is time ever before. I know we're getting into, you know, this month of Thanksgiving. This month, this whole month of November, you know what? Be grateful that you're alive. Sure, you got issues. So who doesn't? Remember what God, remember what Jesus did to the woman that was trying to stone her to death? What did he do? He kind of picked up a stone and he said, okay, you that are holier than thou and have no flaws and no issues, why don't you come and throw the first stone? That was in my notes. No tenemos tiempo. There is no time left. What if Jesus comes back tomorrow and we'll be tripping over nonsense? Come on, somebody. If God has given you life, I'm going to enjoy every second of it. I can't be sidetracked by what they say, or what he says, or what she says, or what the devil says, or what the world says. What does God say? What does God say in the Word? Come on, somebody. What does God say? I can't be tripping over stuff. I have to be focused. I have to make sure that I'm right with God. I believe this. This is another freebie. I believe with all my heart that I don't care how good you preach. I don't care how much word you know. I don't care how you've been around. I really believe within my heart that if you ain't right with God, you're not living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not going to go to heaven. It's been engraved in me since day one, and I don't know about you, but I'm not going to gamble with my soul. I'm going to walk on the safe side. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about save like in construction. I'm talking about the saving salvation. Come on, people. Some of you will catch it later. All right? But the second thing I want to leave you with, there's about two passages of stories in the first book of, Samuel, chapter 15, verse 3. Samuel speaks to Saul, and he tells him a direct order. When you come against the Amalekites, I want you to utterly destroy everything. Todo. Read it for yourself. You don't believe me. Kill everything. All the goods. Cattle. Everything. Dogs. Cats. I was going to say especially the cats, but I didn't want people to get mad at me. Come on, somebody. Todo, si se mueve, mátalo. If it moves, kill it. He gave him a direct order. Now, what did he do? He leans on his own understanding. He does it his way. Samuel was representing like the pastor. I don't care how the pastor says. I don't care how my Bible study leader says. I'm going to do it my way. I can share stories on you. I'm doing things my way. When I lean on my own understanding. I don't have time to read, but if you want to hear some stories, I'll buy you a cup of coffee over there at the favorite place you guys like, Frontier, and leave you a little donut there, whatever you call those things, you know what I mean? And I'll tell you some stories that you were going to kick out of it, man. I learned my lesson. I will not lean on my own understanding ever again. Come on, somebody. I'll do it God's way for no one. But listen, he didn't. And what did he do? Samuel comes and starts talking to him. Hey, so what happened? And then Saul comes. Hey, man, hallelujah. I've done the commandments of the Lord. I did the Lord's work. And Samuel could see God had already spoken to him. He said, well, what's this I hear? All these cattle, sheep. And what about the king? Hey, God, you brought him alive. Saul blamed the people. Oh, it was the people. You know, I always have a tendency. Oh, it was. Just take it like a man and woman of God. If you're guilty, you're guilty. Come on, somebody. And you know what? From that time on, he lost it. And then we read in 2 Samuel, the first chapter, where now David is the leader now. He's overseeing Israel. He's the leader. There was a young man. No, because there's a young man that escaped out of the war and escaped out of the camp. And he comes to David and asks him, what happened? Tell me, how did it go? And he tells him, well, I escaped, and as I come and I saw King Saul, he was wounded with his sword, and he asked me to take him out. And I killed him, and I took his crown, and I brought it to you. Now, David didn't like that. Because no matter, listen, see, David had great respect for his leader. Even though Saul didn't like David. I want you to know there's things sometimes the pastor does to me, and I don't agree, I don't like it, but I will not disrespect. And I will not come against it. I say, okay, pastor, that's what you want to do? Let's do this. I learned that. Come on, somebody. But I'm not going to, oh, well, how come we don't do it this way, this and that? No, come on, we ain't got time for all that. Come on, somebody. There's a chain of command. There's a reason why we do the things we do. Now, listen, my friends. Listen. How can we say we're doing the work of the Lord when we're in disobedience? When we lean in our own understanding? When we're in rebellion? When we're not even accountable to nobody? Nobody can stop you from telling people about God. But how much more under the anointing and the power of this ministry? Come on, somebody. You're not hearing me tonight. How much more can we be more effective when we do the work of the Lord under the anointing of God has given us from, you know, everything Pastor Danny does comes from Pastor Sonny. It comes from the regionals. It comes from everything that we do. It's not like, wow, you know, we're better. Victorious Albuquerque. We're not going to do it that way, this way. No, we're all in the same boat here. We're on the same purpose. We're in the same mission. This is why you got to realize and recognize, why not? There's a reason why we do all these things. Why? Because you can't do it alone. And I'll prove it to you right now. When David called his servant, take this guy out. He had to clean up the mess that Saul didn't do when they told him, kill all the Amalekites. When they asked him, who are you? He said, I am an Amalekite. Sometimes we got to let go of everything. And I want to leave you with one more thing. You can stop playing. In Revelations 3:2, stand to your feet tonight. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, there's a scripture that caught my attention as I was putting this together. And it says like this, strengthened those things that remain that are getting ready to die. I don't know what's holding you back. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. Sometimes people ask me questions. How come we have to pray all the time? How come we have to go to church all the time? How come we have to have Bible studies and seminars and retreats and all this stuff? Because we are sinful people. And if we don't stay connected and plugged in, it's just a matter of time. Our flesh will lead us to the other way. Then we wonder why we're not blessed like we should be blessed. I really believe that Victory Outreach is our time. God has brought us this far. Come on, somebody. There's no way to turn back. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you've been through. I want you to start fresh in the month of November. Thank God for His grace, for His mercy, for His keeping power. For, you know, He could have just pulled the plug or could have just taken us out like He did with Saul. But instead, He's still working in your life. Come on, somebody. And if you've been given life tonight, if you know that you were dead in your trespasses and you had nothing coming, come on. I don't know about you, but like I said it once and I said it again, I'm going to enjoy every second. Come Saturday morning, we're going to be shooting Bambi. Come Saturday morning, you know, we're going to be having fun. And whatever it is, you know, every sense it is, as long as you stay within the boundaries of Christianity, God will bless you. I want to open these altars tonight. Remember that scripture. Strengthen those things that remain. Strengthen those things that remain. That are getting ready to die. There are some things that need to die, and some things need to revive. You do the math. I want to open these altars right now. Come on, worship team. Let's worship Him. Let's open these altars right now. If you're here for the first time, you want to receive power.
name of Jesus. There is power in the name.